Ashley on Corporate Homie.
Wow, first episode of Corporate Homie.
This isn't about the cool, this is for the homies.
Why did you create Corporate Homie? Everybody says they want to be a boss, but most of us actually just have a boss. You low-key famous.
Okay. Real low-key.
Like real low-key.
The struggle is real.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie, productivity. There is nothing more important in corporate America.
One of the most famous productivity quotes of all time. He's a genius.
He's a genius. You have the same 24 hours as Oprah. And I think to myself, no, I don't. That's too early to be starting your work weeks. What is today's show about? When you want to get stuff done.
I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
Get stuff done.
Right. Productivity. There is nothing more important in corporate America than doing good work, than being excellent at your work. And you can't be excellent if you don't know how to get stuff done.
Because successful people learn to do things well.
That they don't like to do. You will find that we quote Benny Liggins from time to time. If you don't,
he's the smartest person who we know.
And if you don't know who Benny Liggins is, that's our daddy.
He's our dad.
He says that all the time. But
he's a genius.
He's a genius. You've got to be able to get stuff done. And so that's what today's show is about. We're going to share some tips about how we actually get things done. We're going to share some productivity tips about to-do list and when you're feeling unproductive and things of that nature. So let's just jump right into it.
Let's do it. This is Bemetra. And if you guys don't know, I actually play college basketball. So a lot of my analogies will be basketball and sports focus. And Coach John Wooden, who was a legendary coach at UCLA, won many, many championships, had one of the most famous productivity quotes of all time, which is failing to plan is planning to fail. And basically, that's what athletes do, is they go to practice. Yes, practice, regardless of what Allen Iverson says.
Practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Practice is important because what you do is you go to practice so that you can execute flawlessly in the game. And so we're going to share some tips about how we practice and put together our game plans so that we are executing flawlessly in corporate America as productive corporate homies.
Right. So like one of the things I always say, because I love Teasing the Trap and I have so many shirts from there. But one of the things that they have is like Beyonce, you know, and Oprah, like, you know, wasn't built in a day. And then I hear people saying things like, you have the same 24 hours as Oprah. And I think to myself, No, I don't. I don't have the same 24 hours. I have 24 hours. Oprah has 24 hours and Oprah is Black and Oprah is a woman. And that's about where our similarities end. Oh,
that's it.
Because Oprah, I don't know Oprah, but Auntie O, if you'd like to meet us, I am more than happy to meet you. Yeah, we love you. We love Auntie O. But I would imagine that her 24 hours are very different than mine. When I watch Oprah and I watch things about Oprah, and I do that often, so I feel like I'm a little bit of an expert on Oprah Winfrey. She has people who help her. She has someone who does her hair. So that's time she has in her day back to do other things. So while someone's combing her hair, she can be productive. I have to comb my own hair. She has someone who cooks for her. I have to cook for myself. So that's more time that I don't have to do for something else. So while someone else is making dinner for her, that's more productivity back into her day. She has someone who drives her around. Oprah doesn't drive. So while she's riding in the car, more productivity back in her day. And so to me, those are just a couple of like super quick examples of how all 24 hours are not created equal.
And that same sentiment is going to be true for the homies. Some of you are going to have resources that will put more productivity back into your day, whether it be a cleaning lady or a nanny or a nanny share or a spouse. And then some of you, everything is on you and you have limited financial resources, you're single. And so we want to talk about how to be the best, most productive you based on your set of resources.
Right. So the first thing we want to jump into is how we organize for success. And like Bemetra said, successful people have a plan. And so Bemetra, why don't you start off by telling us how you organize your success?
Sure. Thank you. I'm going to just kind of start mine off by the top of the week. And the top of the week for me, my week begins really about 4:30 to 5:30 on Sunday evenings. And
that's too early to be starting your work week. Sunday evening, I'm still full-fledged in my weekend.
I'm just sharing what I do. And so I basically put together my to-do list for the week. That to-do list is not just my professional to-do list. I am single. I live alone. So my to-do list will have things like drop your clothes off at the cleaners. My to-do list will have things like don't forget to pick up your mail because I live in a condo building. My to-do list will have schedule your doctor's appointments, but it will have all of that plus the things I want to get done at work. And then I basically take that to-do list and I break it down through, I like to use, I'm not a color coordinated person. I use asterisks, stars, and dots.
So the color coordinating was a jab at me because I'm a total color coordinator.
I'm just not obsessive compulsive, but I am organized. Hashtag just saying. So I will have stars for things that absolutely have to get done for the week. They're non-negotiable. It's not going to be a successful week if those things are not done. The stars are the next priority, and then the dots are the lowest priorities. Obviously, my to-do list, things get knocked off, things get added on as my week comes and goes through it. On Monday mornings, I don't check my email or my voicemail for the first 30 minutes that I'm at work. And the reason I do that is I found that once I get into responding to things, I become reactive and not proactive. I always start the day by working that to-do list before I even open my email and let my day, for lack of a better phrase, kind of get away from me. The third thing that I do is at the end of each day, the last 15 minutes of the day, whatever time that's going to be, and it's different times, different days, because some days I have a reception and I have to leave the office at 4:30. Other days I can stay in the office until 7 p.m., 6:30, what have you. But I always ask myself, is there one extra thing I could have done today to be successful? Whether that looks like making an extra phone call, writing a handwritten note back to a prospect, returning an email, leaving a note for my assistant because I'm coming in late because I have two meetings in the morning. I have something I would like for her to do to be a little bit more productive while I'm out of the office and she doesn't have to wait for me. So I do that each day. And then on Fridays, I slot 2 hours for, call it what you want to call it, business development, business expansion, referral development, prospecting. And I treat that as if it is a doctor's appointment that cannot be missed. And I do that so that I have a sufficient game plan for the next week. You know, and my goal is always to have a certain number of meetings set for next week, the week after that, and the week after that. But from a 30,000 foot view, that is how my week ends up shaking out.
So my week, or the way I do productivity, is somewhat similar but different. Like I said, I don't start that early. I certainly start on Sunday evenings, but I'm more deeper into Sunday evenings.
Well, you know, when you stay up to midnight every night, you can start later.
I do. I am habitually a night owl. And so to me, and just I don't like thinking about the next week so early in the day, because it is, once I start thinking about my to-do list, I do feel like I sort of go into work mode. And so I do wait until late Sunday evening to map it out. I still keep a paper calendar or a paper to-do list. So I have a planner that is a paper planner for me. And so what I first do on Sundays is I write for me what I call the weekly wish list. And so I sit down and I write out just tasks for every single thing I want to get done in the week. And so it is usually a pretty ambitious list. I feel like every week it has 20 to 30 tasks on it. Then for the next day, and I do this every evening before I leave the office or first thing in the morning if I haven't gotten it done before I leave, I start with a fresh piece of paper. It's divided into three quadrants. The longest quadrant is the TK, or the firm to-do list. And so I write everything that I need to get done. So it's things that are moving from the weekly wish list over to the daily to-do list. And then on the upper right-hand corner of my quadrant is the Demetra task list. And that is where I put things like, you know, I have a doctor's appointment, or I need to go get picture frames, or you still need to order, you know, more hangers for the closet. I'm actually looking at a to-do list right now when I say these things.
Or a thoughtful gift for Demetra, just because.
The just because gift for your brother and sister. Yeah, to get something for Demetra and DeMarc, or like schedule that I was supposed to play a round of golf with someone on a personal level. At the bottom right-hand quadrant of the paper is my corporate homie to-do list for things that I need to get done for this. If I'm working on some language or adding something to the Amazon store or something like that, that's where those tasks go. And so I, like Demetra, like to sort of plan it out. I do color code. So when I get things done on the list, it gets marked in pink. And when things do not get done, it gets marked in yellow. And then it is moving over to the next day. And I start with a fresh list every single morning. Like Demetra, I find that if I start the day checking email and not writing out a list, that I am going to feel reactive all day. Or like I said, I feel like I play defense all day instead of offense. And then what I usually find is that I will have had an extremely busy day and may have even accomplished a number of things, but none of them were actually things on my to-do list. And so even though some things got done, it really wasn't a productive day because I had tasks that needed to be done that day that didn't actually get hit.
And, you know, that's a great point, because we've all had days where we were incredibly busy and did a lot of things. And you go back at the end of that day and you realize you didn't get anything done on your to-do list. And the to-do list tends to be things that are going to, for whatever your role is in corporate America, generate revenue or bill hours or make your division or your group successful. And that is, I think, the biggest challenge of time management and productivity in corporate America, is that you can be busy all day doing a lot of things that are not helping you advance the ball.
Right. And so then that's why we said, like, this podcast is like when you want to get stuff done. So you actually didn't get the stuff you needed to get. You didn't get stuff done. The last thing I do is the way I try to end my day, because for those of you who are lawyers, we have to keep time. We have to bill time.
Are you billing us right now?
I am not. This corporate homie has nothing to do with TK. We are not practicing law with corporate homie. So not at all. And so one of the things I try to do is I try to end the day with my actual time being done. And then I usually take a moment and look at what the next day looks like. And so for me, that's just as simple. So I can figure out, like, do I get to wear jeans tomorrow? Can I dress like I work at the Gap tomorrow? Or do I have to have on a suit tomorrow? Do I have a breakfast meeting? Do I really not need to be like parlaying this evening, catching up on the DVR because I have an early breakfast meeting? So that's why I make sure I end the day like that.
That's a fantastic point. Early in my career, I only looked at the day. And so if someone called or I was invited to something, I would say yes, because I would go to that time slot, see that I was free, and I would say yes. And then I had a day where I looked up and I went from 7:30 in the morning to 11 o'clock at night. And it was the day behind the day that I had entertained clients at a baseball game until 11 o'clock at night. And I thought to myself, why did I do this to myself? And why did this happen? And so now I do keep the 5-day outlook, the little 5-day work week calendar, physical calendar on my desk, so I can see, don't accept a 7:30 a.m. breakfast engagement because you're going to be out till midnight or 11 o'clock right. at a baseball game. And then also, like, now I'm better about saying, do I want to have a reception every single night this week? Do I want to have one night this week that's to myself? Or do I want to have one night so I can go get my hair done?
Or see my boo, right? Like, I got a life. And I did that one time and it was brutal. I had a dinner with clients in New York, and then I had committed to talking on a lunch panel in Dallas. It was the same thing. It was because when someone asked me, it was open. And so I was like, yeah, that's fine. But I didn't look to see. So I ended up getting on like this red eye flight, you know, leaving dinner super late, getting on this ridiculously late flight, landing super early, going straight to the lunch because the time zones don't work in your favor that way. That was when I decided that I would move from just trying to do everything in Outlook, actually sit down, like you said, on Sundays, look more at the whole week And then sometimes having to go back and readjust things on Sunday. Sunday night is where I sometimes will discover that I still have done something like that. And then that's when I have to shoot the quick email and say, my calendar says that we're having lunch on Thursday. And I'm so sorry, I'm going to need to reschedule that. And don't be afraid to do that. People don't mind a reschedule. I won't say they don't mind. It's easier to be forgiven for a reschedule on Sunday for a Thursday lunch than to be asked to reschedule Thursday at 10:30 for the lunch.
Agree. And that's a great point. And the more you can do that, the more you can be proactive and help other people manage their schedule and their time, because their time is just as important and they're just as busy as you are.
Yeah. And I think that's like, okay, so there, here comes the first CLM in the productivity podcast. Being late to things is just a no. Like, it's a hard no. When you are late to something, what you are saying to other people is, my time is more important than your time. So you can just sit here and wait for me because you're not as important as me.
It's incredibly arrogant. And in the age of cell phones with text messages and resources, the other thing is you cannot email or text somebody 2 minutes after the appointed time to say you're running behind. You're late.
Yeah, you're already late. Like, or even 5 minutes before. Because the thing is, let's say that we are supposed to meet for breakfast at 8 a.m. At 7:30, if you're not out the door, you're going to be late. And so that's the time to send someone an email and say, I'm running 10 minutes behind. You don't send someone an email at 5 minutes to eight, because here's the got you. If they're a prompt person and their productivity game is on point, they're pulling in the parking lot. And now you are actually wasting their day. Now you're trying to put their day behind.
So that's a great point, because talking about putting on that, it's a great transition into, you know, getting not only productivity out for yourself, but also motivating and getting your fellow homie, because none of us get to work alone. Like, we don't get to work alone. We work in some format, in some kind of team environment, whether it be with assistants or other team members. I know that we all have situations where we've had a project or something that we need to get done. You got your piece done, but you were depending on somebody else. And maybe it made you have to stay up to 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning to carry somebody else's weight.
Okay. So how do you motivate your fellow homies?
So the biggest fellow homie that I have to motivate is my assistant. And it doesn't matter what my assistant's name is. It doesn't matter where I work. It doesn't matter what city. I've had the same challenge, Atlanta, Charlotte, and now Tampa. One of the things that I do is at the top of the week, typically around 11 a.m. on Monday mornings, because we have a lot of kickoff sales meetings for the week and things that we have at the bank on Mondays, is I will sit down with my assistant and share with her what I need to get accomplished for the week. We in the banking industry have what we call a shared assistant environment, which means that she is not just my assistant.
And I don't think that's limited to the financial services world. I think almost everyone now, because of technology, because of people's ability to type and have calendars and incorporate and all those things, very few people are one-to-one situation with an assistant.
Right. I share with her what I want to get done for the week, what we need to get done. And then something that has worked incredibly well is I ask her to share with me what's on her to-do list, because I understand that she has other me's that she's taking care of. And I find that they really appreciate that level of respect. And so then we can sit down and somewhat prioritize her list in conjunction with my list. Sometimes that means that I have to go talk to the other me that she supports and says, hey, I've got this going on. You've got this going on. When do you need this? Do you have to have this by Wednesday? Do you need it by Thursday? So that she's not in difficult and hard conversations. I will say this. Basically, every single day, I thank her for, hey, we had a good day today. Thank you for your time. It sounds silly, but as our grandmother used to say, good manners never go out of style. And I find that with assistants, it's such a thankless job. So few people say thank you to them or I appreciate you. I appreciate how hard you're working. And I find that that helps them want to work harder with me to help me get my goals. They see it as our achievement. Does that make sense?
No, that makes perfect sense. And so I think that for me, sometimes the person that's the hardest to get motivated is me. When I can have a great to-do list, I can have everything mapped out, but then I can have a task that keeps moving. It was on Monday's to-do list. It was on Wednesday's to-do list. It's on Thursday's to-do list. And so my trick for that, when I just find that I am not getting stuff done, is a timer. So I will say to myself, okay, you need to, review this bill. It's usually something like that that's mundane. And so what I would do is say, okay, you are going to set a timer on your iPhone and you have to work on this for 5 minutes. And if you're not in the groove in 5 minutes, then you can move on to something else. And so what I typically find is that if I set the timer and I actually, close everything out and focus on the task, and when the timer goes off, I am rocking and rolling and knocking it out. And then sometimes I do it, then I'll usually do it to just because I like carrots and I like to, I'm an overachiever, I will set the timer the other way. I'll set the stopwatch. And so then I'll say to myself, like, okay, we didn't get that much done, but you worked on that for 45 minutes. Like, that was a great effort. Like, cheer my own self on, like, so that I won't feel like I was completely, like, even though that task is moving till tomorrow, we spent a good hour on it, or we spent 2 hours on it. And so that will help me to feel like I actually, motivated myself to get something off the list.
That's a great point because, we all have motivation challenges, or the lazy bug is on your back, or the procrastination bug is on your back. I do something similar. It's not with a timer, but I will literally pull out basically a white piece of paper that says do not disturb, put that on my office door, and basically say, unless somebody is, hurt or whatever, please don't disturb me, and then try.
And then you play on Facebook?
No, I wish that was the case. Instagram. No, I was just kidding. No, and then I basically do the same thing, kind of lock myself, put my phone on D&D, my work phone on do not disturb, and try to sit still and make myself focus and knock out the task.
So just in wrapping up everything we said for productivity, our first tip is to actually map out a game plan. Write yourself a to-do list, however you do it. It seems like both Bimitra and I do that. So a plan is the key. So you've got to write out a to-do list. The second point would be to not only figure out how to motivate yourself, which we talked about what to do when you find that you're not able to come up with some task, whether that's giving yourself 5 minutes on a timer or putting the do not disturb sign on the door, but give yourself a way that you're going to push yourself through the slog of laziness or the slog of procrastination. Because I always hear people talk about they're worried about burnout, but most people are not even pushing themselves nearly to the limit to even know if they're close to burnout. And these are ways that you push yourself when you're feeling the lag, the lazy. And then the final thing is understanding that you work on a team and figuring out how to motivate your fellow homies. And I think that Bimitra's tip about, if nothing else, just sitting down with them and telling them what your game plan is and then thanking them when they participate and your success is incredibly, incredibly helpful.
Absolutely. I mean, those are all good things. And, we're hopefully you've heard something that you can utilize yourself, that you can implement yourself, that will help you be the best and the most successful corporate homie that you can.
So as always, we want to thank you. We just talked about being thankful. Thank you for taking the time to listen today. We hope that the productivity tips were helpful.
Right. And so if you have any questions or feedback, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at info@corporatehomie. That's corporatehomie.com. Or you can get social with us on Instagram, Twitter, Periscope, Facebook. Again, it's always Corporate Homie, all one word. Until next time,
hustle hard, homies. All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.